This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Will bring heavy rain, strong winds, flash flooding, storm surge, along with isolated tornado activity along Florida's Gulf Coast. Floridians up and down the Gulf Coast should feel the impacts of this as up to 36 hours before actual landfall due to the size of the hurricane. This is a really, really big hurricane at this point. The diameter, the width of it's about 500 miles wide. Of course, we've declared a state of emergency for the entire state. Given the uncertainty that exists, of course, as we go every hour, we get a little bit more certainty in the general area, and we know that this is going to have major impacts on Florida's Gulf Coast. We've issued waivers of weight restrictions for commercial trucks to ensure we have ample fuel and resources coming into Florida. Make sure you're prepared. There's no need to panic buy. If you normally don't drink a lot of water, you know, you may not need to go out and buy 20 gallons of water right now. You have a significant storm that may end up being a Category 4 hurricane, and I know they say it may slow down by the time it reaches landfall, but if you have that off the west coast of Florida, that's going to cause a huge amount of storm surge. You're going to have flood events. You're going to have a lot of different impacts from that. So we want everybody to be safe. We want people to weather the storm, and that ultimately is the most important thing.
That's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. I'm Kate Delaney. He was talking about Hurricane Ian bringing really fears of the dangerous storm surge to the Gulf Coast region. I would say there's high anxiety. As you know, I live in this area, and everywhere I go, that's all anyone's talking about. I say this show is about the buzz in your backyard and mine, and truly what is happening in my backyard is the buzz across the land. I am evacuating tomorrow, so I am one of the people that's going to evacuate. I'm sure I'll be stuck in massive traffic. It was just the smart thing to do. In my neighborhood, it's 50-50. Lots of people are not evacuating, but in a way good for me because they're looking out for me, these wonderful people that now I've become acquainted with, and that's what neighbors do. That's why I like this country and the communities that I've had the honor to live in. So they're watching out. People have come over and showed me things that I need to do for the hurricane, and the ones that are there are going to take pictures and keep me up to date on what's going on in the neighborhood. Now, I do live on the Gulf Coast and do not live very far from the beach, but I am not on the waterfront as people are on the waterfront, and they've been urged to evacuate, told to evacuate already, because of the severity of the path of Ian. And you know that can switch a little bit here or there, but the surge and the winds, there's going to be something that will absolutely happen from Ian. It's just a question of is it going to be catastrophic, and is it going to be that 100-year event that they haven't seen in this particular area, because it did strengthen to a Cat 2 as it took its aim at Cuba and now Florida. Ian's current forecast will make landfall on the west coast of Florida or the Florida Panhandle. A lot of people are listening to me there. Hello. By midday on Thursday. But again, that cone of uncertainty, the track and intensity, that's the part that is always really, really tough to rectify and decide, where some people have to make that decision whether to go or not. One thing that you cannot do is fly into Paradise, because Tampa International Airport was going to stop all of its operations 5 o'clock on Tuesday because they got to secure the airfield and the terminals ahead of the expected landfall. They can't take that chance. So it could be, I don't know, maybe a couple of days. The Department of Health and Human Services has declared a public health emergency for the entire state of Florida. They are on the ready. Ron DeSantis, the governor, declared a state of emergency over the weekend. That was approved by the president over the weekend. These are the things you do ahead of time. And there are people that are panic buying. I have seen on the shelves there's not water. There's emergency supplies that are coming through, but they really have been picked over because people have run out to do whatever they can, knowing if they're going to stay, especially, and have to hunker down, what's going to happen, how many days is that going to be? Because remember, if you lose power or lines go down or you're trapped in a neighborhood and you can't get out, that could be an extra day on top of it. We're keeping watch on what's going on with the hurricane, and tropical storm slash hurricane. And obviously I'm here, so you get the full impact of what truly, truly is happening in this region. Some other things that popped up on the radar that I think we all gasped at was Uvalde and the families and what they have to deal with, the emotional fallout from losing your child the way so many did, and then others who are grieving for their friends who lost children, and just the 6 degrees of separation from so many faces, and including a couple of teachers, as we know, as well. So the families there are pleading with legislators to do something, to do something so this doesn't happen again, and this goes to guns. And their push is to have gun control statewide and nationally. There are a group of families that talked to a couple of legislators. They had a listening session and talked about common sense gun legislation, accountability for police officers, and transparency from local officials. And they voiced their frustrations with the complex and arduous application process for relief funds. So, you know, it's been chasing one after another, chasing one tail after another, one tail after another. And I can't even, again, imagine what that would be like for any of those families, families who, some of them can barely get out of bed, can't focus, can't do the things that they normally would do. Because why? Because there's a hole in their heart. So let's see how that hole is filled as far as what the representatives are doing. And specifically, really, the families are not saying, it, from what I understood, because I listened to some of it, it was not, we hate guns, get all guns out of everyone's hands. It was banning assault weapons. That's what the push was for, to do that again, because, of course, that was what happened in that scenario in the school. And we certainly haven't heard the last of this debate, and we haven't heard the last of it on the Hill either. So we start off talking about the Hurricane Ian and then the Uvalde parents and others affected by that, so many. And then how about this? NASA had a spacecraft that successfully collided with an asteroid. Sounds like a movie. In fact, there have been several movies made about the asteroid or the meteor that could smash into Earth and we would all be dead unless we found higher ground, or maybe some of us would survive, and all those different scenarios. But this is not a movie or a script. NASA has successfully tested its double asteroid redirection test spacecraft. They call it DART, and it collided with an asteroid on Monday night, the size of a football stadium. So they're saying it doesn't pose a threat to the planet in this case, but the mission will help scientists test some technologies that could prevent a potentially catastrophic asteroid impact. See, it really was true. We really could have a disastrous impact with an asteroid. It is wild. I think you can find it. I know you can find it if you go to NASA's website. Watching those two things intersect is absolutely priceless. Man Cave, next.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Woman cave. What a Monday night football game. Dallas Cowboys with Cooper Rush. He's now 3-0 as a backup quarterback for Dallas. Beat the Giants 23-16. Nobody nailed the score. So sorry. CeeDee Lamb made an incredible one-handed grab for a touchdown that secured the win for the Cowboys. And Rush was great. He rallied to win, like I said, his third straight start as the Cowboys starter, you know, because Dak Prescott is injured. So how wonderful for him. This is a guy who was undrafted. Nobody was looking at him. He was a quarterback from Central Michigan. He went on waivers eventually at one point when first the Giants had him, and then he got picked up by the Dallas Cowboys, and it was to their advantage, obviously. And I think he'll get a lot of looks from some other people because he really plays well. He's pulled it together. He deserves those looks. So that's been pretty interesting to watch him evolve. And speaking of evolving, it has been a crazy 3 weeks in the NFL. You got to be kidding me. It started with Thursday Night Football, remember, when the Browns beat the Steelers and Jacoby Brissett had 220 yards passing and a couple of touchdowns. The Bears barely beating the Texans, but they did beat them. They did beat them 23-20. It all takes was a kick in the fourth quarter. The Titans get by the Raiders. The Raiders are winless. So the Titans, 24-22, Derrick Henry, part of that story. He's just a machine, 20 carries, 84 yards, and a touchdown for Tennessee. The Chiefs lost to the Colts. The final score in that one, 20-17. Pat Mahomes, not the Pat Mahomes we know so much, really trying to scramble to make some things happen, but could not do it. But Matt Ryan, in front of the home crowd, as the new starter gets the win, and it wasn't pretty, but a win is a win, so the Colts pick up their first one. The Dolphins are a big story. They are 3-0. Tua, we knew you could do it. They beat the Bills. That is a big win, 21-19. There's some really frustrating moments, I think, for Josh Allen. A lot of players were out for the Bills, but that's no excuse. And certainly the Dolphins had their own challenges to contend with. Also, the heat, I think, was killer for the Bills. But the Dolphins deserved the win, and they outright won. So go Dolphins. Again, the flying fish. The Vikings, I can't figure this team out. Give me a break with the Vikings. Kurt who? Cousins? It worked this time in the end. 28-24. Beating Detroit. So they pulled off the comeback win. I mean, that was really the story. It was a comeback win for them. The Ravens beat the Patriots 37-26. Lamar Jackson does it all. If he has to get in the end zone and score the touchdown, he will. So the fifth TD on him as he skedaddled into the end zone. And the Ravens are 2-1. The Bengals beat the Jets. The Jets got so high on their last win, I think they thought they were going to be able to nail this. Hardly. And it all worked out for Cincinnati. Like I said, 27-12. On the other side of the ball, Joe Flacco with a couple of interceptions. That made part of the difference. The Eagles, just like the Dolphins, in command. And they beat Washington, speaking of commanders. 24-8, Jalen Hurts, could he be the real deal? 340 yards passing and three TDs. The Panthers beat the Saints. Oh, the Saints, what's going on, Who Dat Nation? 14 points they managed to score, not enough. The Panthers beat them 22-14. Jameis Winston looks so frustrated on the sidelines. Even though he passed for 353 yards and a touchdown, it was not pretty. Jacksonville could have found the groove, beating the Chargers 38-10. It's a fun, fun game to watch. And you could look at a couple of different players, both on the ground, whether it's Robinson or Palmer in the air, that who was stopped, that even though he almost had 100 yards, that made the difference. You know, and once again, a one-handed grab in the end zone, leaping high. We saw that from Marvin Jones, and that gave Jacksonville an even more commanding lead. So good for him. The Rams beat the Cardinals 20-12. The defense getting hammered in all directions, but they survived and they made it happen, so they pick up a win. They're 2-1, the Super Bowl winners from last year. And the Cardinals are looking for that next win. The Falcons beat the Seahawks. Geno Smith really wanted to prove himself, but the Seahawks are now 1-2. The C is the official quarterback this year, with Russell Wilson being in Denver. So 27-23, I'll say it again, that was the final score. Falcons pick up their needed first one. The Packers and the Buccaneers, this really was the big game everybody was talking about. Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers. And Tom Brady in the end, hello, clock management. Oh, I'm sorry. Time's running out, and not to mention time's running out. You kill the play clock. But I don't think that was the main thing here. There were also many targets that were out for Tom Brady. He had to deal with some serious injuries, and the Packers were able to take advantage. They survived, basically, to fend off the Bucs in a very wild finish, 14-12. The Broncos, speaking of Russell Wilson, they also fended off a challenge at the end of this. This was a strange game, 11-10. So there you have it in the NFL. That's just a quick peek at week three. How could we already be in week three? How's this possible? Time just keeps on chugging along, right? Baseball, we're at the nitty-gritty time of who's in and who's out, and there's been some incredible things that have happened in baseball, including Aaron Judge, who is the home run superstar. He's homerless in a loss to the Blue Jays in 10-3-2, but he's sitting at 60, waiting to get to 61 homers in a season and more, but he's going to have to wait at least one more day to achieve that kind of feat. The Orioles bashed the Red Sox. They certainly did, 14-8. So they cut that wild card deficit, which is key in what they're looking to do. The previous hour I mentioned the Nationals now officially have crossed the line of who cares. 100 losses this season. They were blanked by the Braves. 8-0. 8-0. Oh, and it was in Washington. Who is staying for that game? Only Atlanta fans or people who are waiting to catch a train somewhere else. And so it's better for them to just sit in the stands. Boo. That is a terrible, terrible record. And I guess you can only go up. That would be my message. We can only go up from here, and there's always next year, because you're going to have to look to next year. They're not going anywhere fast, my friends. And they know it. They know it. All right, in the meantime, just quickly, in college football, Texas Tech fined $50,000 for storming the field in overtime. You may have seen that. And they were reprimanded by the Big 12 Conference, too, because fans just ran into the field following an overtime win against Texas, which was really big and shocking, shocking from my point of view. But, hey, the Red Raiders are capable. They had the game-winning field goal, 37-34, their first at home in that series since 2008. So that's what happens. You get fined, you get publicly reprimanded. That's what they do when your fans go nuts. Because what happens is the Texas coach complains, Steve Sarkisian, and says, I love the pageantry of college football, but when fans rush the field, it's dangerous for us as coaches on both sides. It's dangerous for the players. I don't think this is what we want to see. He didn't blame the fans for doing the whole celebratory thing, but said it would be good to find a better and safer way for everybody to be involved. I don't know, how do you do that? It's the emotion of the moment, coach, and it just makes people want to go immediately and run to the fields. That's what happens. All right, I'll meet you on the flip side.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
Florida is preparing for a direct hit from Hurricane Ian. The Tampa Bay area appears to be the most likely target. Evacuation orders are in place. NASA spacecraft DART hit a harmless asteroid at 14,000 miles per hour as intended. It was a dress rehearsal for killer rocks that are actually heading for Earth. 17 people are dead, including 11 children, in the school shooting in Russia. The gunman killed himself after the attack, which also saw 24 wounded, the vast majority of them children. On Wall Street, the Dow plunged nearly 330 points, or just over a percent. The Nasdaq fell 65 points. The S&P 500 was off 38. No more Pro Bowl as we know it. It's going to be called the Pro Bowl Games now, which will feature a flag football game. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Water, a memoir about life with men. Dr. Jennifer Embry joins us now. Boy, she's led an interesting life, that's for sure. And I have to say this right at the top, that I think some of our listeners and I myself am jealous of this because you live in Bramford, Florida, and you've got boxers, turkeys, Indian runner ducks, which I never heard of, and I guess you're doing some kayaking and having a lot of fun. Is that pretty accurate?
Oh yeah, I love it up here. It's even though it's in Florida, it's like real rural and kind of in the woods. So it's a nice break from any city living.
Yeah, there you go. So you have time to write a book, and you write this book. Tell us about the journey of writing the book. What made you decide you were going to do this?
Well, I experienced this incredible. This incredible experience that happened to me, and I'm worried. I don't have any children or any family, and I'm worried if I don't tell my story, it's going to be lost forever. And I think it's just too important to just let it disappear.
So tell us about the story. What's the book about?
It's about how I received a new life, basically. And, growing up, I lived in a very chaotic, abusive family. And, the consequences were severe on me, where I experienced, drug abuse and alcoholism and promiscuity mainly was a big thing, and codependency. And after I had this life-shattering experience, my life was changed forever. And I just wanted to tell people about that.
Yeah, and in your book you talk about this. You talk about your father, you talk about his lifestyle, and you talk about eventually murder. So that had to be unbelievably traumatic.
It was like just getting punched over and over and over again. You wake up each day like, what terrible thing is going to happen today?
Right.
And it's really difficult.
So how do you recover from that? What did you do?
Well, I started thinking, this can't be normal. You know, people don't go around having their gay fathers murdered every day. And how can I just get through the day without such terrible anxiety? So I just started kind of exploring different options. And my second husband happened to be Jewish, and we were in graduate school together, and he said, I said, let's go out and do something. And he said, well, I can't date you because you're not Jewish. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. So, so he kind of just left my house, and then he came back about an hour later, and he goes, I don't care what my parents say. I still want to date you. So we started going out, and I started learning about Judaism, and I fell in love with Judaism. I learned all. I converted to Judaism. I had a formal ceremony, and I just immersed myself into it. And because I wasn't completely healed yet, I ended up getting a divorce from my second husband. And so I was alone. I was single and dated a man from India who was Christian, and he was having trouble with his teenage son, so we decided to go to church. I started going to an Episcopal church and learning more about God on the other side. You know, in Judaism, we really focus on the Old Testament. The priest, obviously focused on the New Testament. And I kept saying I'm going to prove that God doesn't exist. So we would sit down every week and go through the Bible, and I would try and convince the Episcopal priest that God doesn't exist. And for some reason, I just couldn't do it. And I found amazing experience, amazing coincidences throughout the Bible that predicted what would happen to Jesus on the cross, and like the book of Isaiah, which happened, 500 to 1,000 years before Jesus actually walked on the earth. So, so these were remarkable to me, and I decided I will give my life to Christ. I can't deny this didn't happen. But I was still felt guilty because I was Jewish, and I thought, all the Jews are going to be mad at me. God's going to be mad at me. So I decided to go ahead and take my first baptism, I was infant baptized, but water baptism and communion, and then things really went crazy from there.
Right, so that belief helped you, right?
It kind of got me, pushed me on my way.
And in the book, what's so interesting is you talk about where we started, growing up in the 60s and 70s, and you're in an affluent suburb of Detroit and all the things, the chaos that happened, then your relationship with men. And in the book, you do a really clever thing. You write a letter to each one of them and then talk about, you know, how that brought you into this relationship with God that you're talking about now. What a clever thing. Was that cathartic to write those letters in the book?
Yes, and I wanted to also go kind of in reverse chronological order, like you're reflecting back on what happened. So I started it kind of in the present tense, and then each chapter, I kind of wrote each chapter as like a short story. I think it can kind of stand alone, and I thought that would be easy for readers. I've gotten critiques, though, that some people don't like the reverse chronological order. I kind of like it. It's kind of different, and it gives some perspective. But I feel like as we go back in time, it gets deeper and deeper into my tragedy, where I describe my dad's murder and all these kind of things.
Yeah. How old were you when that happened?
I was 27.
Oh, wow.
My mom and dad, my dad was an attorney, a corporate attorney in Detroit, and they kind of got set up. Both of their parents were wealthy and belonged to a country club, and they got my parents got set up by their parents to go on a date and ended up getting married. But my dad told my mom that he was gay, and that was in the late 50s at the time, which was not acceptable. But they went to a counselor or marriage, counselor, whatever, psychologist, and they went to a couple sessions, and the counselor said, Phil, my dad was cured of his gayness, so it's okay to get married. So they got married, and initially, in my real young years, we lived in a nice house, and my mom was like a typical 60s wife, but there would be these terrible screaming matches, and it was terrible. And I know my mom found out, my dad was probably having an affair or whatever, a gay affair. So it made her just crazy. And then we moved out to the country in a big English Tudor style house, and we had horses and dogs, and being in Detroit in Michigan in the winter, we had pretty bad winters, and my mom just kind of abandoned us. We were left with dirty dishes in the sink and animal feces on the floor, and my dad wouldn't come home for days. I was 10 or 12. My brother was 10 years younger. My sister was 2 years younger. And we were left, the children were left with no food, no heat, filthy feces, and ultimately the horses starved to death.
Wow.
And my mom would tell me, it's time to, my dad would say, Jennifer, go out and feed the horses, and the 9 o'clock at night on a winter night. And I'd go out there, and there was no food to feed them. The grain was gone, no hay. So I remember just standing in the barn for 10 or 15 minutes, however long I thought it would take to feed them, so my parents would think I fed them and go back in. And I still have nightmares today of that.
Wow. And you came out on the other side, and we don't want to give everything away about the book, but it is such a journey. A Drink of Water, a memoir about my life with men, Dr. Jennifer Embry. Thanks for sharing and coming on. You can get the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Thank you so much.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
the Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I definitely have a love for thoroughbred racing, as I have family members in racing. A couple of my cousins are trainers, and my uncle was a jockey. So it's really fun to have Roger Salvino on with us. Families bringing thoroughbred horse racing to Illinois. Families and thoroughbred horse racing. And this is a book that's a labor of love, I think, in a way, because Roger's father was a trainer. So, Roger, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, if you give me your family's name, I probably know it.
Service. So it's John Service and Joe Service is my uncle. He was a jockey out of West Virginia. And John Service had a horse called Smarty Jones that almost won the Triple Crown, just missing by a nose at the Belmont.
Yes, right, yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. I learned so much about thoroughbred horses and horse racing through different family members, for sure. So what made you write this book?
The reason I wrote this book is because my family's in the business, and I thought that there wasn't enough people interested in how the racing game is so important to the public and to my family. Right.
And how tough is the racing game? I think people don't understand what it's like to be in it.
Pardon me?
How tough is the racing game? What's it like to be, you know, in the midst of a thoroughbred racing?
Well, I grew up in the business because my father started in working with horses, and he migrated into the thoroughbred industry because home is in Cicero, and there's a racetrack, two racetracks adjacent to Cicero, Illinois. So my father was working on a farm with his uncle, who's from Italy, and he was working on a farm there, helping him pick weeds and help with the planting of the things that he was growing, potatoes there, et cetera. And the farm was adjacent to the racetrack property. So my father got interested because he saw all the people coming to the racetrack to see the races. So he went over there, and he was employed to help with the horses, although at that time horses were very popular in the area. People had horses in their on their properties for riding and for transportation. So that's how I got interested in it, through my father.
And what's it been like for you to be in racing?
Well, I started out with my father helping him with his horses, because he had horses that he was training for a friend. And then he purchased a horse called Happy Knee, Happy Pilot, and got people interested in investing in the Happy Hour Farm. Gave him X amount of dollars to start the business, and he bought Happy Pilot, and which turned out to be a very good horse. And then he migrated to get more horses, and he started Happy Hour Farm, and he ended up having 10 or 15 horses. And one of the outstanding races he won with DeValue was a $50,000 race. It was a really popular race. And through the years there, my father's name was in the sports pages as a horse trainer and a part owner of some horses. So at that time, to have your father's name in a newspaper was a real big thing, because no one else that I knew of while I was going to school had any part of their, any one of their families in the newspaper. So the big thing was that your name, Salvino's, in the newspaper, and we're talking about my father and how he got in the business and the horses he owned and the jockeys he was using on all his horses, and that was very popular, and that's how I got interested in everything.
Did you have a favorite horse of all time that you've worked with, your father worked with, or you had, you know, you mentioned one, but that you really, really just liked and watched to watch this horse race and grow into it?
Well, Happy Pilot, I would say, was the most popular horse there. He's a real big horse, and he was real easy to handle. That horse was popular with the people that worked for my father, and I just grew interest in the horse also. Those horses, I was friendly with most of the horses there. As I was very young, I was walking the horses, calling them out after their training. And but Happy Pilot was probably the most popular.
Yeah. What do you think, when you look at the horse racing industry now, it's been pretty tough. And keeping the interest there and getting people to want to be involved in thoroughbred racing, not families who want to, train horses.
Well, right. It's difficult for somebody, unless they know or are interested in watching races and wagering on the horses. They might get interested in buying horses. And I've had people that were interested in the business. They were friends of mine. And we started a stable, and we did very well. And as the time went on, we got rid of the horses that we had. We sold them, and they didn't want to go back into business. In fact, they moved out of Illinois. They moved to California, and that kind of broke up owning horses, because they preferred to see what was going on, and the horses were running in Illinois, and they were in California. So that kind of ended that relationship.
Do you think the crowds were pretty interested in racing in Illinois? Because I think it's a loyal bunch there.
Well, when you really come down to it, what did people have for entertainment? They either went to the show, see movies, or they would go downtown or be on the lakefront, or there wasn't too many things that people were doing. They could go to the racetrack to see races. They could gamble legally on horses and gambling. I'm sure they had gambling places that were illegal, but you could go to the racetrack and bet on horses. You could have dinner there. You could socialize, and you were treated with greatly at the tracks, because you come in here to be entertained, and that was a big factor at that time.
Yeah. What do you want people to take away from reading your book, Families Bringing Thoroughbred Horse Racing to Illinois, Families and Thoroughbred Horse Racing?
Well, anybody that would read the book, it would have a basic idea on horse racing, how important it is to the public, and how it serves society with jobs and money and entertainment.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think it's very entertaining, and it does serve a lot of jobs from all the things that go on behind what you actually see before the horses get to the gate and actually race. And you talk about being a kid and getting to walk the horses, and that's a job, taking care of the horses, grooming them, that's really big.
Oh, definitely. And here's the big factor. The racetracks have rooms for people that work in the industry. They have their families there, and that's a great help for the industry. They give jobs, and they're living right on the grounds. It's an industry with homes.
I like that, an industry with homes. Was it fun for you to write this book?
Was it difficult for me to write this book?
No, was it fun?
No, because I have so much background with the industry, and
yeah, so
my
just
family was in there, so I could write about my family a little bit, too, and myself.
Yeah, there you go. You wrote about your family, you wrote about yourself, so it wasn't difficult to write it. I say it's like a love letter to your family, for sure, and I love thoroughbred racing, so I think it's terrific that you wrote about it. Roger Salvino, thank you so much for coming on. You can pick up the book on Amazon. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for the interview.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Poudyarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudyarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudyarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.